Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the nature of spirit in the network of oneness and how it differs from the characteristics of the mental material world of energy driven by a belief in two powers. Listen as we explain how to accept spiritual heritage and gain the benefits of perfect divine origins. In this show, we will discuss why Jesus said in Matthew 23:9, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the network of oneness. So Swami, I see the title of today's show is Life Indigenous to Spirituality. Really hoping that you could break that title down for us. Why did you decide to work with that title?
Well, I really like the idea of the word indigenous. And I thought maybe we could apply that to this divine science. So I did a Google search on the origins of the word and came up with the term indigenous derives from the late Latin indigenous and indigena. And that means native, and from the old Latin Indo, that is derived from the archaic endo, a cognate of the Greek endo, meaning in, within, and the Latin gignere, meaning to beget, from the root gene, meaning to produce, give birth, beget. And in spiritual science, we explain spirit as the void or nothing. And science tells us underlying matter is energy, and underlying energy is the void. This is the trinity we use. We understand that in order for something to manifest, it must split from the void or the unified state and manifest in half, leaving behind a complementary, unmanifested other half. And in this show, we'll look at the nature of the void, the nothing from which everything appears.
Swami, let's look at that word, the void, and how would you describe that to somebody to put them in a spiritual sense of the word?
Well, the reason they call it the void is because it's invisible and it's intangible to corporeal sense. And we're accustomed to living out from the testimony of our material senses. In fact, the whole concept of being alive, we are always looking for movement, animation, sensation is what we call life. But what you find is in divine science, in truth, it's silence and in stillness where the eternal life. And the main reason why this idea of a void or a nothing, when you read scripture, it talks about God. This concept of God is everywhere and in everything, and yet no one sees it. And the main reason for that is because spirit or divine truth or this void, this unified state is whole, it's complete. The corporeal sense mind works on contrast. It is what they call a divided consciousness. In this division, in this contrast, we're able to perceive what is before us. Whereas in the unified state, everything is one.
Well, how will we become conscious of the void?
Yeah, this is what we have been talking about. How do you perceive what can't be perceived with the mind that you are accustomed to using? The answer to that is we must transform. Or as Jesus said, we must be born again of spirit. This is a complex issue. This is something that you need a complete metaphysical or a mystical system in order to really do it. But one of the things we always say is all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to the divine. And so you start to work with is what we will call the nature of the void, which we will call spirit. And it's peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance. Spirit is formless, and it's omnipresent, it's omnipotent, and omniscient. These are the characteristics of the spirit. And basically, what we start to do is we educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension. We know that we can't bring forth this divine image with this mortal mind. But we can, what the Bible says, repent. We can think differently. In Kriya Yoga, we call that meditation, where we actually stop thinking with our five material senses and we make our mind an avenue of awareness for this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. And because silence is the language of spirit and stillness is the activity of spirit, we replicate that in our consciousness, which then invites this invisible, intangible, all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful network of oneness into consciousness. And the less our thoughts are influenced by the five corporeal senses, the more they'll start bringing forth the attributes of this invisible, intangible, spiritual universe.
So you're saying that once we're of this particular mind, then we can expect to have peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance, in our surroundings.
Right. Consciousness is experience. So what is appearing in your five material senses is the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. In fact, that is probably the only use we start to use that for, because it's not a creating mind. The only reality is the divine creation, which is being held, controlled, and governed by the divine mind. So this idea of spiritual identity, and what we're talking about here is this is indigenous to the mortal human sense of life.
So just to clarify, you said that we had to think differently. So let's just say, for example, we have a problem that we have to try to find a solution for. Which mind is going to come with that solution to whatever problem we have? Is it still going to be our mental, material mind, or does this come from divine mind?
Yeah, well, the first thing you know is that you have divine mind. And it only knows divine truth. And so you know if you have a problem that it never came from divine mind. And so now you treat it differently. Rather than looking to fix something that appears in your material senses, you realize it's not backed by the divine creative principle. You don't need to solve the problem. What you have to do is come out of the mental material thought loop that is creating the problem. And this is what we have been talking about. The key question, can the mind free itself from its own creation? In order for us to really be able to come out of this mind, it's really helpful if you can grab onto something that is outside of it. Even though we are recognizing what we're calling life, this mental material universe is a mental image, the more divinely mental, the more we are influenced by our awareness of this invisible, intangible creative principle, the more harmonious and indestructible it appears.
So if we're faced with a problem that needs a solution, so you're saying the first thing that we have to do is just become aware of the truth, which we've been talking about in a lot of our shows. And then if a solution does come, when we are in this awareness, then we can rest assured this has probably come from our source of divinity.
To help me answer the question and help you understand it, I have a soundbite here from Herb Fitch, the La Jolla series, Class 3B. If anybody is interested, you can get the full audio file from mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
You see, everything in this world can be seen two ways, even death, depending on whether you are in material consciousness or spiritual consciousness. One way veils the truth, and the other way unveils the kingdom of grace. If you look with the eyes of the serpent, you see the dream. If you look with the eyes of the transformed self, you see the rhythm of God made manifest as harmony, peace, and light without end. Now please believe this. Every human way to attain spiritual consciousness has failed. There is no way for a material consciousness to find a spiritual consciousness. You must give up one to get the other. To experience God, you must live where God is. And God is only in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of spirit. If you want to catch a fish, you go to water. If you want to experience the power of God, you must go where God is. And you will not find God in space or time. You will not find God in matter. You will not find God in the human mind or in human thought. And you will not find God if you are a physical human being walking this earth on two physical feet. You must face this. You must read this, every word of it. Write it down. Listen to it. Study it. Until you can accept that you can only find God in the kingdom of God. Otherwise you walk without God. You must take off your shoes. You must wash your feet. In other words, you must leave material consciousness to find God. That word leave, I call to your attention. You must leave material consciousness. You must lay down your consciousness of matter in order to pick up your consciousness of spirit. Now let's say that outside your room there's a garden, and between you and the garden is a wall with a door in it. So here's you in a room. Here's the wall, and on the other side of the wall is the garden. Now normally, all you would do is walk through the door into the garden, and you would say that you have walked into the garden. Now just stop for a moment and realize that you could not walk into that garden unless you walked out of the room. See what I mean? Millions of us have failed to find the kingdom of heaven for just their lack of knowledge of this point. They want to walk in the kingdom of heaven, but they do not know how to walk out of material consciousness. They're trying to be in the room and in the garden at the same time, and the result is chaos. The real secret of entering spiritual consciousness is leaving the material consciousness. When the false is taken away, all that remains is the real. As the Bible says, one shall be taken away, and the other shall remain.
Yeah, and to come back to your question, it's really a lot more complicated than we seem to want to admit. And this idea to find God, we must go where God is. And not only go where God is, but we must be in God's image and likeness. We must declare ourselves to be immortal and to know ourselves to be so. This is what we're really trying to aspire to in these shows.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, I mean, let's talk more about finding God and where we must go to find God. And where is God?
Well, theoretically, God is everywhere and in everything. But God is in the divine creation. God is the invisible, intangible, omnipresence. And I really like what Herb told us in that soundbite we played, is because he gave us an outline of where God isn't. God isn't in time. God isn't in space. Not in concept or form. God isn't in matter or belief. Not in thinking or in movement or change. God is not in human will or personal sense. And yet God is everywhere and in everything. So everything comes down to what we're looking with. Am I looking with my 5 material sense mind, or am I looking with my 7 spiritual senses? In short, God is not in this world. We cannot find God in this world because God did not make this world. And as John told us in John 1:3, I'll read it. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. End of quote. Or as Jesus said in John 16:28, I'll read it. I came forth from the Father and come unto the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. End of quote. And this is something I think that we start to learn with this idea of pratyahara, sense withdrawal, is when we leave this world, when we leave the influence coming through our 5 material senses. And in this silence and in this stillness, we activate our 7 spiritual senses. Until divine mind reveals itself to you in consciousness, you must be patient and wait. And everything that we do in Kriya Yoga is really a strategy in order for us to evoke this divine experience, when divine mind acknowledges itself as you, and in this acknowledgement, we surrender this personal sense of self. Like Herb told us, we must put off this mortal sense of self. And nothing will get rid of that quicker than what was called the Christ. The Christ is the Messiah, the saving aspect of truth. It's what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness.
I know in the Bible, Jesus talks to his disciples and he's talking about when the Comforter comes. So you're saying the Christ is also another word for the Comforter?
Yeah, I do like the term that he uses. And yeah, I would say in this model, the Christ is the Comforter. And again, as the saving aspect of truth, it's the interface which makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. And I also like in the Bible, we have in Matthew 5:4, and I'll read it. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And that's the end of that quote. The reason I really like this idea is because very few people understand what Jesus means when he says, blessed are those who mourn, because he's really talking about those who mourn the loss of this personal sense of self, that we've given up personal identity and we have surrendered to spiritual identity. We've risen from the belief in the many, from the belief in two powers and duality, into this network of oneness where there's no time, no space, no concept, no form, no belief, no matter, no thinking, no movement, no human will or personal sense, and everything is here now. Very different dynamic. You're in the realms of the absolute. A finite mind cannot comprehend that. And you can't put an infinite mind in a finite body. So we have to come out of this mortal sense of self. And then you're comforted.
I also like the verse John 16:7, I'll read it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, I'm wondering, could you maybe break that down a little bit for us?
Yeah, again, we're looking at this idea of what Herb said, that you can't get one without losing the other. It's basic physics. Like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. And so you can have your mortal sense of self and your infinite spiritual identity. And if you want your infinite spiritual identity, then you must purify yourself physically, mentally, conceptually, and make your consciousness a hospitable environment for divine mind to take over the scientific government of your body.
Now, Swami, do you think that that's a stumbling block for a lot of people who want to be spiritual and maybe who think they're spiritual, but yet really don't quite have this understanding of what that means?
It's really hard to troubleshoot this. And that's one of the reasons why, again, I come back to the teachings of Mary Baker Eddy, because if you do not have a litmus test, if you have no way of knowing what it's going to look like when you are living out from your indigenous spiritual identity, then you can work with anything. You can accept anything and say, I'm spiritual, which is typically what I think is happening. I know a lot of people who think that they are spiritually awakened, and yet they're having problems. And the only one that really addresses that is Mary Baker Eddy, because she says that's not a possibility. That if you're having problems, you cannot understand yourself spiritually. And that's what makes Christian Science a science. You have a rule and you have an outcome. And if you are not having the desired outcome, then you have to understand that there's something between your rule and your outcome that is not in compliance with this truth.
Now, I have a question for you about John 16:28. Jesus says, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Is he saying that he has dropped all his material senses and then that's how he is going to the Father?
When Jesus is talking about going to the Father, he's talking about the Father within, your spiritual self, the divine creative principle, which is functioning right now in consciousness. But it's not in this world. And so we must leave this world and go to the Father. And the Father within does the work. Even in the beginning where we said, call no man your father, for your Father is one in heaven. The minute we accept mortality, this idea of mortality is a barrier to the understanding of ourselves as we really are, in the image and likeness of an indestructible principle.
We have a statement here from Herb Fitch, and this is from Revelation of St. John, Class 20A. And he states, come hither, I will shew unto thee judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. We've been talking about this a lot today. Can you give us an idea what this means?
Yeah, that's from Revelation 17:1. And he continues and he says, now the use of this term is to dramatize. The human mind has been seduced from reality. The great whore that sitteth upon many waters is mortality. The belief in mortality throughout the Old and New Testament is called a harlot, because through the belief in mortality, we are all unfaithful to God. God is immortal. And the harlot is the symbol that humanity is being seduced into accepting mortality. And in accepting mortality, we deny the Christ, which is immortality found in the acceptance of spiritual identity. And Mary Baker Eddy also would say that you must declare yourself to be immortal and know yourself to be so. Because when she talks about the child of God or children of God, she's not talking about mortals. And this idea of whether you are the son of a man or you are the son of a woman is very different. And it really depends on whether you have been born again of the Spirit, spiritually indigenous to the divine creative qualities.
Well, it is that time to end our program for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the fading banner Blog Talk Radio, click it directs you to its catalog page. Click the products tab and then online classes directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. Any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the network of oneness. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriyoga kind of day. Namaste.